What no one has known until now is that Saturday afternoon around 4 p.m. on December 27, 1980, Staff Sergeant Monroe Nevels had a surprise visit from Lieutenant Bruce England, the shift commander for Bravo Flight Security Police. Both Sergeant Nevels and Lieutenant England had served in the Marines before reenlisting in the Air Force. Lieutenant England told Sergeant Nevels he was there on top secret orders of the RAF Bentwaters base commander, Colonel Ted Conrad. Here now is former United States Air Force Staff Sergeant Monroe Neville.
I was in my home on Woodbridge Base, and I got a knock on the door. It was Lieutenant England from the security police. Came in, started walking through the home and looking throughout my home to see if there's anybody else there with me. And I told him that, yes, my daughter was in there. She was 3 years old. He said, well, does she understand what I'm talking about? Because what I'm about to say is top secret. He said, I'm here because I was sent by the base commander, Colonel Conrad, asked me to come to here and pick you up and let me go into detail what he said. So then he started going back and relating all the instances of the UFO on December 25th through that time frame. The story that I got from Lieutenant England was that the London Tower on December 25th, when all this started, contacted the tower at Woodbridge Base and asked them to identify the object that was above them because it was on their radar and they could not determine what it was.
So London's looking at Woodbridge, is seeing an object on radar,
right,
contacts Woodbridge to say, what is it that we're seeing? And Woodbridge says, we don't see anything?
Exactly.
Had he said to you specifically in the house about the abduction at the site?
Lieutenant England told me that one of the airmen had been taken aboard the spacecraft.
And he was talking about what had happened at least two nights earlier. Can you talk about that?
Yes, he just basically went through and told me about Sergeant Jim Pennington and John Burroughs were involved. I do remember the names were mentioned. Mm-hmm. And he said even to the point that someone had been abducted into the aircraft. And he said the reason Colonel Conrad has asked for me to come get you is because he felt that if he wanted an honest answer from anybody, then you would give it to him. So it's my orders. They are down at the Woodbridge Officers Club, and they are having a party down there. And when we get through on our investigation, he'll be waiting for us, and we're to go back, and you to report to him what you saw. And so we left, and about 4:30 that day, and we went over to Bentwaters and carried my daughter with me to the chaplain because my wife was over there in the chaplain's event for the ladies. And got back in the Jeep, and we had light scopes, the night vision goggles. We had those with us, and I had my camera. And when we got there at the scene, we went around some forest, and he began to pinpoint things that had happened.
And Monroe, it's very important to stress here that Lieutenant Bruce England, the shift commander for Bravo, already knew the site of the previous landing of a craft of unknown origin, and it was Lieutenant Bruce England who took you there.
Yes.
This goes then right to the heart of what exactly was happening on December 28th. Colonel Conrad had already had Lieutenant Bruce England go into the forest because Lieutenant England would not have known where to take you if he had not already been out there, right?
Well, right, unless he had been given instructions. All I know is that when we went out there to do the investigation, he stopped the Jeep and said, well, right here is where we need to stop.
Do you know where you stopped in relationship to the East
no.
Gate?
No, all I know is we stopped. It was dark, and I'd never been out that way before. I was astounded. Told him, I said, man, those trees are tall.
Right.
And he said, yes, and they said that the craft that came in, it did not break any limbs and came right through the trees and sat down.
Which seems impossible.
It's an impossible thing in our realm, but not impossible for whatever they were doing.
From perhaps outer space.
Right. And he took me to the site of the landing. And I proceeded to go into the area and I looked around and see what I could find. I took my camera, and when we got in there, I saw the three indentations in the ground, and I looked at that. When we got back in the Jeep and slowly headed back toward the East Gate, on the way, I looked out and I saw the bright light in the forest.
And you were looking through the night vision goggles from your Jeep?
At that time, I wasn't. All I saw was the light.
With your naked eye?
Right. And it was probably by that time at least 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. And we stayed out there for some time. And as I looked, I grabbed the night vision goggles I had, and I looked through them. And when I did, what I saw was the bright green through there, picking up from the heat from the object. But what I saw was something that looked like an eyeball,
mm-hmm.
and it was very green around it, but the dark inside looked like a pupil of an eye, and it would just pulsate very slowly until I would get out of the Jeep. And I had Lieutenant England stop the Jeep, and I got out, and when I got out, the lights got brighter.
Like they were coming toward you?
No, it just looked like they knew I was there.
Huh.
And the light got brighter. And I said, well, I'm going to get back in the Jeep and see what happens. And by that time, I had static all over my head and my arms and everything. I knew something was wrong.
You mean the hair was standing up
right
on your head and arms?
Like you would say, static in the air.
Right, like electrostatic field in a thunderstorm.
Right. And I naturally got scared, too, because I didn't know what I was looking at.
Right.
So I get back in the Jeep, and when I get back in the Jeep, he's a little bit agitated, but then I could see the light would get dim. And then I'd move out, start to open the door, and it'd get bright again. But what it would do is sit there and pulsating.
And reacting to what you did in the Jeep.
Right.
What Lieutenant England must have been thinking about was that a couple of nights earlier, the story was that one of the men in the forest, John Burroughs and Jim Peniston, had been abducted into the craft of unknown origin, as they described it, to Lieutenant Fred Buran.
All I heard was the word abduction. He just said an airman at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I said, okay, now we can go. And we went back to the Woodbridge Officers Club. And when we reported in, the maitre d' went to Colonel Conrad. Colonel Conrad came out and ushered both of us in. And inside that room, I saw Colonel Halt, and I saw Colonel Conrad. I believe Colonel Williams was there. I'm not sure, but I think he was. Security police chief was there, and he was in uniform. So when I got in, we discussed a little bit about what I saw. And then he asked me, Sergeant Evels, do you think that it warrants further investigation? And I said, yes, sir, most definitely. That's when Colonel Hawk jumped in and began to assemble a team. And we went back from there to the base over at Bentwaters. And I picked up the radiac instrument. But I do know that when I used the ANPDR 27, that we did get readings after we went back out.
And that measures beta and gamma.
Yes. I did take the beta shield off and check it. And I didn't catch anything. It was all gamma.
So the beta with the shield off, you didn't get anything. But when you were measuring gamma rays, that's when it pegged on the 0.5 meter. And on the 5 meter, it was hovering around 7.
Right.
Some people say that there were 35 or 16 millimeter motion picture film cameras out there in the woods where the light alls were. I wondered if you saw that with your own eyes.
No. The reason being is that nobody from the photo lab was out there but me. I represented the base photo lab as much as I did disaster preparedness. I was the only one out there with the camera as far as I know. Now, there may have been some, but I never saw any. And another thing, Colonel Hawk questioned me, all those pictures you take, did you get anything out of it? Wasn't it film processed? And I said, yes, sir. I processed that film myself. I said, I went home and processed it.
And you had the radiation that you know you got at least some gamma ray.
Radiation, so the radiation would have fogged the film. I looked out in the woods and saw the light. And somebody else saw the light about the same time. They were on their radios, and they contacted Colonel Hawk. And we proceeded to try to find it. And at that time, the cattle were starting to get kind of edgy, you know, like they knew something was there. When we got to it, it disappeared. We couldn't figure out how it got out of those trees and where it went.